So as Pastor Matt was saying, we are, you know, we're from Bowie, Maryland, which is right near Washington, D.C., between Annapolis and Washington, D.C. So today I want to talk about a word, one word, and that word is compromise. Compromise is a term that's often we hear maybe in politics, right? Political parties maybe compromising to make some legislation. Or we hear about husbands and wives who are compromising to make a decision. That term, compromise, very applicable to our earthly world, right? But the more I study about Christ and the more I study about Jesus, I learn how he was so counterculture to the world. And that word compromise may be applicable to our lives, for our personal, but that word compromise is not part of God's vocabulary. We're going to go through several scriptures over this, so I hope you guys can look through your Bible quickly. So the first chapter or verse we're going to read is Matthew 8, 18 through 22. It says, when Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Another disciple said to him, Lord, let me go and bury my father, then I'll follow you. I'm adding that part, but Jesus told him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. See, my first point today is the word compromise is not in God's vocabulary because he wants prompt obedience. When we are compromising or we're negotiating, right, it sometimes takes a while. We see this guy who was the disciple, which is interesting they use that term because that means he was a follower of Christ. He was where Christ was at some point, right? But then he said, Jesus, I want to go follow you if I can compromise, if I can go bury my dad. See, Jesus is saying, you bury yourself. Let your dead bury the dead because I need you right now. There's no time to think. There's no time to wait. When I call, you need to answer. And this same concept, when we look in contrast, if we look at sort of the patriarchs of the faith, as I like to call them, if you look into Genesis, where it talks about, it would be Genesis actually 12, 1 through 4, where it talks about Abram, right? So it said, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people still on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him. And you see the interesting part where it says, so Abram went, as the Lord has told him. There was no questions. There was no God. Well, what about my wife? Right? Abram was 75 years old, so it wasn't like he was just starting out. He had a life. He had a wife. He had Lot, who talks about him, right? This guy had everything around him. He had decisions to make, but there was only one decision. When God spoke, he went. So compromise is not in God's vocabulary because he requires a prompt response from us. The second point I want to talk about today, the word compromise is not in God's vocabulary because he requires us to be either all in or all out. When we compromise, we're saying, God, I will do this, but only what I'm comfortable with, right? God, here's my stipulations. Here's what I am willing to do. If I can do that, then that'd be great. So if we look at Revelation 3, again, I tell you a lot of scriptures because I like to base upon scripture. So Revelation 3, 14 through 16 says, to the angel of the church in Laodicea, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you're neither cold or hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. The literal translation, the word spit means actually I'm about to vomit you, right? So when we are compromising and we say, God, okay, I want to go to church on Sundays, but then when I'm home or I'm doing other things, right, I don't want to live for you, or I'm sort of washy. God says, make a decision, either be hot or cold. Because either I need all of you or I don't want any of you. There's no middle. Because when we're middle, were inconsistent. And you read throughout the Bible, God requires and wants people who are persistent, who are consistently going after him, who are consistently hearing his voice and letting that lead them. So today I'm going to have two of my other team members join me. Claudia and Kristen, who you guys talked or heard about, they're going to share with you through their lives. They both experienced some different situations where it required them to make this decision. Am I all in or all out? Truthfully, probably some of the decisions they had to make, it would be tough for me to make the decision they made, which would be all in. So I'm going to have Claudia come first, and then Kristen will come after.
Hi, everyone. Okay, so where do I start? Well, I've been going to Cornerstone for about a year now. Yeah, a year, exactly, actually. But before I started going to Cornerstone, I was attending the Latter-day Saint Church, or if you've heard, the Mormon Church, and which was the church that my mother had grown up going to. When I came to Cornerstone, it created a bit of controversy in my household because my mother wanted me, what my mother believed to be the truth, the ultimate truth, the only truth on earth. She thought that if I left the church that I basically was going on a dead-end road. I remember when my first day at Cornerstone last summer, June 8th, I'm never going to forget what was preached and how I felt. I was, one, very scared because God gave me a feeling that I was just going to feel something different. When I walked through the doors, I felt like his grace and just this peace cover me like a cloak. And it just felt like I was at home almost. And I honestly thought that I wasn't going to feel that way anywhere other than the church that I knew, which was the Latter-day Saint Church. When we started worship, that was something that was so new to me. In the Mormon church, we sang hymns, and they only allowed us to sing the hymns that the church provided, because anything other than that was not truth. And we would sing it in a way, in a manner where it was very meek, and that's okay too, but I always felt like I was in this strict framed picture. I always felt like I couldn't be myself truly when I was worshiping God or singing. I didn't feel like I was singing to God, first off. So when the service at Cornerstone started, I saw everybody get up, and it was a song that I knew. And I see everybody extending their hands, and they looked so free. And I wanted to feel that way. Excuse me. And I thought to myself, why don't I feel this way at my church? And I'm never going to forget what the pastor had preached that Sunday. He preached out of Matthew 7. If you could turn to your Bibles, Matthew 7, verses 7 through 8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. For 6 months before I came to Cornerstone, my faith was stagnant, and I almost felt like I was, sooner or later, I was going to stop attending church, because when I was in the Mormon church, I was very involved in the church. And my ultimate goal was I wanted to learn about Jesus, but we were so focused on other things, and I'd get a little bit frustrated because I didn't feel like anybody was helping me. We had two books. They stressed more to read the Book of Mormon. I didn't understand it. I wanted to learn about Jesus, and we were just talking about other things, and I felt like, how can I have a true relationship with God, with Jesus, if I don't truly know who he is? So when that sermon was preached, I knew that I was meant to be there. I knew that I was not there almost by mistake. Because for a long time I had these questions, but I was so afraid to ask these questions. Because, I was afraid to ask these questions because I felt like I was in the wrong. I felt like I was told that the Latter-day Saint Church was the only way. And I felt like if I believed in anything else, I wasn't going to be able to dwell with God one day. So after the sermon, I had a mix, I had all these emotions. And after the sermon, I met Matt. And he invited me to Doulos, which meets Monday nights. And it was so awesome because he told me that they were going to be studying the life of Jesus that summer. And I was just so, at awe because that was something that I had been praying for. So, again, that was, another confirmation that I needed to be there. So I went home that day, and I told my mom about the service and about, I want to go to their adults, their young adults group. And she told me that I could go. The Sunday before that service was the last day I ever attended the Mormon church. I kept coming to Cornerstone. But the more I kept going, the more it created controversy within my household and with the people from the Mormon church. There was a lot of questions that I had that Matt, he helped me with. Mormons believe that there are three glories of heaven. And for a long time, I strongly believed in that. And I was so confused on, where am I going to spend eternity after this? Because the Bible says one thing, and what I was taught says another. So it was questions like that, about my salvation, that I was very concerned about. And I kept attending Cornerstone, even though it was hard. I knew what I had to do. I kept listening to God's voice. I felt this tug on my heart to keep going, and I was really happy because I was learning about Jesus. I was learning about my Savior, and just the people that are in my small group were teaching me so much. They were patient with me. I cry a lot, so they allowed me to be open, ask questions, and they helped me. They were patient with me. They showed kindness, love, grace. And I was really drawn to that. I'm like, why am I not receiving this? Or why have I not received this somewhere else? And I knew that I'm just so glad that I listened to God and I kept going there. And it made me think a lot. Through that time of trial, even though it was hard, I was so thankful for it because it made me think about and ponder about the cross. Jesus didn't ask for cushion, he didn't ask for cushion, he went for it, and victory was waiting on the other side, and this is what Jesus has shown me here at Cornerstone. I think it was a month after I kept attending Cornerstone every Sunday and Monday night, my mom came up to me and she asked me, she sat me down and she told me, "You seem so happy now. You're always talking about Jesus. I see you praying more. I see you in the Word of God more. You're more involved with church." And I told her, "Yeah, I just feel this joy in my heart that I want everybody to feel." And she asked me, "Can I come?" And that was just, when she said that, I started crying. I said, yes, you can come. And she came with my little sister as well, who for a long time was also struggling, believing in a lot of things in the Mormon church. So she was really happy, and everyone welcomed her and my sister. And Oceans is my little sister's favorite song. Before she came to Christ, that's one of the songs that really stuck to her heart. And that's the song that was played at Cornerstone that Sunday morning. And I'm never going to forget. I look over at my mom and my little sister, and they're both in tears as well. And after service, they told me that they want to keep coming. And I was just like, thank you, Jesus, for, you know, giving me the courage to stay strong. You know, even though I felt like everyone was against me, you know, I had him right there with me, alongside me and before me. And then he brought my family to Cornerstone as well. My dad, who's walked away from his faith for many years. He grew up in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. He's also, on New Year's Eve, was his first service at Cornerstone. And, yeah, God's just been showing, honestly, an incredible... He's just been showing so much in my life that I'm just so thankful that he gave me the courage to be obedient. And I see that the blessings in listening to the Lord.
Praise God. I'm just so glad to be with you guys today. This is like a dream come true for me, and I just wanted to share a little bit about the faithfulness and grace of God just to get me to this point, because I know if he hadn't shown me grace, I would not be here right now. Just to give you a little background, kind of like Matthew, I grew up in the church. Both of my parents were saved when they were young adults, a little bit younger than me, and so I was able to grow up knowing that God is the God that saves, that God answers prayers whenever I needed something. When we were in distress as a little kid, my mom would be like, let's pray, you know, let's seek God on this. And we would see answers. My brothers and my sister and I, we would see answers. And so I knew the power of God, even as a young child. And so that caused me to give my life to Christ when I was about 8 years old. But little did I know that was just the beginning of my walk with God. And he would take me through some things later on. The biggest thing for me was when I was around 20 years old, my mother passed away just very suddenly. Devastated. I was devastated. My entire family was devastated at the time. My little sister was like 12 years old. And I remember just thinking, God, why? You know, why would you take this person that was my mother was my spiritual leader almost. She's the one that helped bring me to Christ. And so at that point, my faith was really shaken. I was like, God, how could you do this to my little sister? But at that moment, I was a senior in college, about to go into veterinary school to study to be an animal doctor. And there was just all these decisions up in the air. And then my world just comes crashing down. And I remember thinking at that moment, God, this is it. You know, I'm headed for the gutter. I can't do this without her. You know, she brought me up to this point. Why would you take away the rug up under from my feet at this moment? And I was just amazed at that moment that God would speak very softly. You know, there was just so much comfort. You know, when I'm sure, as you know, anyone who's here has lost someone so close to you, you know, people try and comfort you. And a lot of times there's nothing people can really say that really touches you. But God was able to bring back to me at that time a lot of the scriptures that my mother had instilled in me as a young child, one of which was Psalm 71:5, you are my hope, sovereign Lord. You are my confidence since my youth. You know, and I realized, God, you are sovereign. You know, whether you give me whether you give me wonderful family members or take them away, you know, you are in control, and I can choose right now to trust you with what you can do next, or I can walk away. And it was definitely tempting at that time to walk away. But God, he just kept whispering me, you know, remember what she prepared you for. And I realized, you know, that he had called me at that moment for a reason, that he had prepared me for that time. And all I had to do was hold on to him. And for that period in my life, I just held on to God. And, God was just faithful. Just reading through the Psalms, I love the Psalms because I love how David could just cry out to God and say, you know, Lord, I'm in this pit, God, pull me, you know, you have pulled me out from this pit and set me on a rock. And I would just cry those words out to God. And I would just take so much comfort more than what anyone else could ever give me. And that really helped solidify my faith at that time to keep going. One of my spiritual mentors at that time had asked me if I'd wanted to get baptized before my mother passed away. And then afterwards, she was like, "Are you sure you want to do this? Like, do you want to get baptized now?" And I'm like, "Yes, no, let's do it. There is nothing on this earth that's worth anything to me anymore." I remember saying that to my family at the time, you know, "There's nothing here. What is on this earth that's for me but God? He's the only one that can keep me through this." So through that time, he really showed me his faithfulness and how he's able to keep me just through grief, through depression. And then, praise God, he got me through veterinary school. I got into a great job and then was starting to get really involved with my church and was trying to go after God, but just feeling like something was missing. I had been a part of my church for about 14 years, growing up with a lot of people there, and just kind of felt a lot of the tug of the world. Matthew has been talking about compromise, and that's kind of where I felt like a lot of the people in my age group were going through at that time. We were kind of doing things, going to church, but not necessarily living things out like we should on an everyday basis, representing Jesus wherever we were, being intentional in our faith to help other people see the gospel. And I was like, "God, there has to be something more, you know, what else do you have for me?" I just kept feeling that tug. And it was hard because the people around me weren't interested in that. And they were kind of like, "Oh, why do you keep asking these questions?" I was like, "Well, you know, shouldn't we be doing more outreach? Shouldn't we be loving other people, different kinds of people?" Because it was, at the church that I went to was all an African American church. So people of all of one type. And I was kind of like, "Well, shouldn't we, like, you know, reach out to other people or do other things?" And I remember not getting a lot of response for that. So I felt very closed in. And I just kept praying to God. And he brought to my mind the scripture, Philippians 3:10, "Them I know Christ, them I know," to help me to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and participate in the fellowship of his suffering. And I just kept praying to that. And they say, you know, be careful what you pray for, because a lot of things could happen. And God took me to a time where he started to show me, "Hey, I want to take you deeper." And I started reading more of the word daily and really getting into the root of the gospel, which even growing up as a child, you know, I just still didn't know how to help bring someone to salvation. And so for me, that was so critical that God really started implanting into me, why do you believe what you believe? And is this, you know, is this something you want to continue to pursue? And so I said, "Yes, God, take me deeper." And that led me to eventually leaving the church that I was at. I had to tell them that, you know, I felt like I wasn't being, that God was leading me in a different direction. And at that time, I was shunned from the church and lost a lot of my best friends. And even there was even rift in my family from that. No matter how peaceful we tried to make it. But God was still like, you know, "This is what you need to do." And it was very hard to try and to balance between the different pulls from the church and then from where God was leading me. But I was just amazed with the faithfulness of God when I was trying to search for where he wanted me to go, different churches. Every message that I would hear would still be encouraging, like, continue to seek the Lord, you know, continue to try and find a place to serve. And so I kept getting these encouraging messages until finally one day I came to Cornerstone. And I remember immediately when I walked in, I just felt the presence of God following me. And then there were things in my heart that I'd been praying for that I had longed for, that I didn't realize I wanted, but that God knew that I wanted. And one of them was the young adult group at Cornerstone. The very day that I came to Cornerstone, they had an announcement for the young adult group the next day. And I was like, "Oh, wow, you know, I've been looking for a church with a young adult group." And immediately, as soon as I came, I was like, "This is God, you know, this is what I've wanted." People my age, other professionals, even other younger adults that are all seeking after God, that are trying to give it all for God. And so for me, that was an answer directly from God for me. And then Matthew later on had asked me to help lead the women's group, which had also been on my heart when I was at my other church, but I wasn't able to do it. And so for me, I'm just in awe of how when you go through a difficult choice and you just can't see beyond that mountain, you know, that you're going to have to get over, but God sees it and he just says, you know, trust me, what he can do through that. And that he knows, even when you put your desires aside to follow him, that he's able to fulfill even the desires that you don't even realize you have, that he is able to do that. And I just praise him and thank him for being here today.
You see, both of these ladies had to make the decision. With Claudia's case, losing family, strife in the church. But Claudia made a decision, I'm going to go all in. Kirsten's situation, loss of mom, strife in the church, strife in family. Her situation, I'm all in. So point number two again was, the word compromise is not in God's vocabulary because he wants us to be all in. And finally, the third point, the word compromise is not in God's vocabulary because he doesn't want us to miss steps along the journey. In Numbers, it talks about Moses and how the people of Israel, they were coming up and they were so mad at Moses. They said, Moses, why did you take us out of Israel and bring us to this desert where there's no food, no water? And Moses, the Lord spoke to Moses. God said to Moses, speak to a rock, water will come out. Long story short, Moses took that one out. Instead of speaking to the rock, he hit the rock. And God said, because of that decision, because you compromised, I'm putting that word in for God, but because you compromised, you are no longer able to see the promised land that I had for you. You are no longer, you're going to miss that step in the journey because you compromised. In Claudia's life, if Claudia compromised and said, okay, I'm too afraid of my family rift, I'm not going to go after, I'm not going to learn the truth, I'm not going to step salvation, her family's life would never have been the same. Her mom would not have been going to heaven. Her dad would not be going to heaven. Her brother would not be going to heaven. In Kristen's life, if Kristen said, I'm going to compromise because my mom passed away, the girls that she touches every week on a Monday night whose lives are changed, that wouldn't have happened. The journey she's seen of God answering prayers so that God, Kristen always knows now that no matter what, God's going to answer my prayer. He spoke, right? Because they listened, they didn't compromise, they didn't miss steps on the journey. So I'm gonna just, we don't have much time here, but I'm going to just ask my team to come up. This word compromise becomes something that can be easily in our lives. We can easily compromise on things that God has said us or God has things that have asked us to do. But if there's anything you guys need prayer about in your lives, whatever it is, if there's area of compromise that God's pinging on your heart right now that you want to pray with someone about, they'll pray with you about that. If there's salvation, if there's healing, if there's job situations, whatever it may be, these guys are open here to pray with you, speak with you, encourage you. So thank you so much.